Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, BethelStratford.org.
This is the last week in our series, Reminded. In the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how we could renew our minds to understand the ways of God. Because in our society does not think the way God thinks. Which sadly, whether we like to admit it or not, has influenced the way we think. I would love to say that most of the church has stayed solid where God wants us to stand. But because society has drifted, we have drifted. And we still feel okay because we're not where society is. But there's lots of stuff that we need to renew our minds on. And so this morning, we're going to continue to dive into this, but this is our last one. Next week, believe it or not, next week we start our first series on Advent. Advent. It is Christmas time. Whether you are ready or whether you like it or not, Christmas is here. And it has come way too fast. I know there's people who love Christmas. I love Christmas. I just didn't expect Christmas now. Anybody else feel like it should still be like, you know, the end of September? Anybody? Feels like it's come really, really fast. If you look in your Bibles, Romans 12, verse 2, you should know this by now probably, but it says this: do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What I want you to do for just a moment as we are about to dive into the last one, I want you to share with somebody near you something that God has shown you in the last 4 weeks that you need to rethink or renew your mind on. Just take a second, share with somebody around you like, hey, here's what God has shown me that I need to reflect on. I need to renew the way I look at this. Go ahead. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. We're going to start there this morning. We're going to stay mostly in the Old Testament today. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 6. And here's what it says, verse 1. These are the commands, the decrees, the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Father, we just open up our hearts and our ears to hear from you today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to hide me behind the cross and let my words be your words. I pray for open ears, open hearts to receive this morning. That, Father, you can speak to us, you can challenge us, you can encourage us, but Lord, we leave here changed and transformed for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at the passage of scripture we just read, especially if you look at verse 2. Verse 2, what I want you to look at is how many times he's speaking to you and how it reflects your children and the children after them. It says in verse 2, so that you, this is talking about observing what the Lord has told us, obeying his commands. It's so that you, say me, say me, there we go, your children and your children after them. Now say, not just me. Do you understand how this instruction isn't just for you? See, we live in a society that is very selfish. Very selfish. I remember when the store, when their advertisement got close to Christmas, they didn't even say, like, they didn't hide it. Their advertisement 1 year for Christmas was literally, I want that. That was their advertisement. They show everything, you should buy this because I want that. God's word is so much more than just me. Than just me. See, as I follow God, it's not just about my life. It's about my children's life and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren that I will probably never meet. This morning, I want to talk to you about legacy over reputation. Legacy over reputation. See, so many of us live our lives for our reputation today. What do other people think about me? What do other people believe about me? I want to challenge you that I truly believe that your home life is way more important than the life you live outside of it. You see, when we walk into this room, when we walk into this building, many of us who've grown up in church, we know how to church. We know how to play church. And here's the thing. When we go home, what does our family see? I believe and know that this message will probably be a very quiet room message. But I want you to hear me when I speak to you right now. This morning, I am not speaking down at you. I want you to dream with me this morning. What can your family look like? If you live, if you obey God, if you dream and live in a way for your great-great-grandkids. So every decision you make, it's not about now. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our great-great-grandkids and the legacy that we can leave for them. You see, here's what we have to understand. Our children, your children, the family that is around you, the family that you influence, your children, your nieces, your nephews, they will repeat what you do, but always at another level. Good and bad. They always take it to another level. Whatever you do, if you do it a little bit, if you do it in moderation, they will do it at the next level. If you consider church optional, they will believe it's irrelevant. If you believe church is optional, your children will believe it's irrelevant. See, here's what we have to realize. Some of us grew up in such a strict home that if you grew up so I still know this. I am 43 years old, and if I sleep at my mom's house on a Saturday night and I plan on going to see my dad on the Sunday because, well, I'm at church 52 days, like 52 weeks of the year, I take holidays, so I'm not always in church. Please don't strike me. But if I'm sleeping in my mom's house and the next morning is church and I know at the moment, hey, this is the only chance I'm going to get to go see my dad and hang out with him, I ask my mom's permission. Not to go to church. Because scripture still tells me to honor my parents. Because here's the rule in my mom's house. You sleep in her house Saturday night, you go to church Sunday morning. It's a rule. Always has been. So I had buddies that slept over at my house that never went to church, didn't grow up in church, and they just knew Sunday morning they're going to church. And they'd show up Saturday and I'd be like, hey, did you remember I got church clothes with me, man? They knew. Now, here's the thing. Some of us grew up in this and our thought pattern was this. Well, I'm not going to be that strict with my children because I want them to have a little more freedom than I did. Realize something. You're still serving God. Maybe your parents weren't crazy. Maybe because they made church a priority, you understand that it's important. The thing is you have to shift your mind from, well, it's important, it's relevant, to I need to be there regularly. Not it's optional. Not, well, I don't feel the greatest today. Not, well, you know what? The sun's kind of shining right now. I think it'd be nice to get outside and go for a walk. I can spend time with God and nature. But you can't be built up the way you can when we gather together. And we teach our children the importance by not our words, our actions. Our actions. And see, your children will teach it to the next generation. See, I watch my children. And I watch my children watch you guys. And I watch your influence in their lives. I've heard my children tell me word for word what some of you have said in a conversation. Not in a bad way, don't worry. Like some people are like, oh, what did I tell? What did I say? No. What I mean is we've been in a conversation and one of my children are there. And then as it comes up later, they state this knowledge that they have that is yours. And they repeat it because they learn. This is why it's so important who you allow around your children. Who's influencing your children? Not just their friends, but their parents. Who's speaking into their lives? Because here's the amazing thing. What somebody learns for the first time is usually what they hold on to forever. That first knowledge. See, what you have to understand is the importance of your home and how you lead it. See, what you have to realize is when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, the children in that home, when the man of the home took the blood and put it over the posts of the doors, the children inside had no idea what was going on. No idea. But they were protected because of the actions of their parents. They pled the blood of Jesus. Pastor Melissa just shared, I think it was last week or the week before, about the power of pleading the blood of Jesus over our children. Here's one thing I can tell you from years of doing youth ministry. Every time I did a survey with the students that I had, what do you wish you did more at home? Most of them would say devotions. And every parent in the room probably smiles and like, yeah, right, every time we do devotions, it's chaos. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. There is a power at work that does not want you doing devotions because guess what? He wants to kill and steal your children. Can I tell you something as pastors? When we go to do family devotions in our home, it's like a zoo. Everybody's either grumpy or everybody has super amount of energy and they just can't sit still. Keep going. Well, Chad, my kids just rolled their eyes at me. I'll tell you probably why they rolled their eyes at you. Unintentionally, I'm going to say unintentionally, your tone speaks down to them. They don't necessarily, depending on their age, want you to teach them. They want to learn together. When they ask you a question, research it together. Even if you know the answer, teach them how to get into the word. And if they have a little bit different opinion of you, and it's not a salvation issue, and it's not a major thing, don't beat them with the Bible. And the other thing, parents, pray. Pray a lot. Cover your doorposts. But what they see you doing, they will replicate. See, do we understand the responsibility we have to lead those who follow us, that lead those who come behind us? See, we get to stand here in this beautiful building and do church because of generations before us. I think I did the math just the other day. Somebody asked, this church has existed for, I think it's 116 years. It didn't start with you. And Lord willing, it's not going to end with us. Unless the Lord comes back for all those who just got upset. I believe the way we're supposed to do church, the way we're supposed to teach, and the way we're supposed to celebrate who Christ is, it's not for me. It's not for you. It's actually not for you guys. I believe it's for your children. For all of you. For all the students in the room. It's for their children. That's why we need to make sure that we have an impact in our community. And the way we have an impact in our community isn't just this building and what we do here on a Sunday morning. It's what you do in a daily life. What if we begin to serve God in a way of obedience because we understand how it will affect our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren? If your children can learn today what you've learned in the last 3 years, where could they be? Where can they be in the relationship with Jesus Christ when they get to your age? See, your family, your children, will either want the relationship with God that you have or wonder what the point is. Your family, your children, will either want the same marriage as you have or they will wonder what the point is. What we show them is important. We need to make a path for them. They need to be able to follow us. And not only need to, they have to want to. They have to want to follow us. See, if you look in Numbers 13, this is where Moses chooses 12 guys to send into the promised land to check it out, to scope it out, to figure out, hey, is it really what God said it was? How big are the cities? How big are the people? Are they stronger than us? Can we take them? So these 12 guys, they go in. They're there for 40 days. They come back. They bring a cluster of grapes that they carry on a pole between two guys. That's how big these grapes are. I want you to know, I've never bought a cluster of grapes at a grocery store that I said, Melissa, you need to come help me carry this home. This is such a powerful moment that in Hebron, there is actually a monument on a roundabout right in the middle. They put a statue, a monument of two guys with a pole carrying a cluster of grapes so that the Israelites to today don't forget. It's still there. They come back, they show everyone the fruit. They talk about the size of the people that were there, their cities. And 10 men said, we can't do this. They talk about all the fruit, all the possibilities. And then they forget who their God is. And 10 of them say, we can't do this. And when they say they can't do this, Caleb, one of them, speaks up, and in Numbers 13:30, he says this. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. The other man began to talk about why they can't attack and how big and strong these other people are. And they were scared to step out. Because they were scared to step out, their fear spread among all the Israelites to a point where everyone started to weep and complain against Moses. They began to look back and they began to say, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Do you understand? What you say in the moment of stress, in a moment of fear, in a moment of frustration, a word of complaint, a word of criticism, how it can ripple through. When really what it was they forgot who their God was. They forgot who their God was. See, many times on the edge of our breakthrough, things look tough. Realize they're at the edge of the Jordan. They're so tough that we begin to think we should quit or just go back. What's the point? It got to a point where they actually started talking about choosing a leader to head back to Egypt. How many people that we've seen serve God for a long time and then when they hit hard times, and understand, I'm not downplaying hard times. Some of you have walked through such challenging, difficult times. But instead, we talked about this earlier, instead of making the hard times making them better, it makes them bitter. Who do you have around you? See, here's what we have to understand. All of us know this when it comes to our children. Hey, choose your friends wisely because whoever your friends are, you'll become like them. Adults, it doesn't change when you hit 20. It doesn't change when you hit 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110. For you to reach 110, you need to have strong, healthy people around you. If you go to your friends because you're in a hard time and you vent, and they join the pity party with you, that's not the friends you want around you. You want the friends who are going to listen with a kind heart. Because I believe you should be able to share your heart and frustration and have a friend that will listen without speaking down to you. But when you're done, they should begin to lift you up, encourage you, pray with you. If they've got nothing to say, if they're like, man, I don't know what to say. I haven't gone through something like that. Can I just pray with you? The friends that will build you up, not sit with you in the mud. Or compare mud. Oh, that sounds bad. Can I tell you what's going on in my bad life? I want friends that are going to pick me up, strengthen me. Listen with a sensitive heart. Understand that. We're supposed to mourn with those who mourn. It doesn't say we're supposed to mourn our mourns with their mourns. Whoever you surround yourself with, that's who you'll be. We teach our children, but we have to understand it as well. They were worried about what others would think. See, what you have to realize, these 10 guys, 12 people come back, two are like, let's do this. The other 10, what I honestly believe happened was they're like, man, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a challenge. And I think some of us, we get to a point where we're like, if I say we should do this, and it gets really challenging, what are people going to think of me? think they're going to question me. They might try to figure out if I heard right. We begin to fear men more than God. And many of us, it stops us from stepping into our destiny. It stops us from stepping in to what God has for us. Because we fear our reputation over our destiny, over our legacy. When they decided not to go, Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes. They were so frustrated and heartbroken. And then they said this in Numbers 14, 7 to 9. It says this, "The Lord, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and it will give and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." See, Caleb and Joshua tried to lead them, but they were not willing to follow. Because they wouldn't trust God, they never got their destiny. They settled. They settled in the desert, in the wilderness. Do you know that this is a learned behavior? See, we look at the Israelites and we go, how do they do this stuff? How do they get so close and stop? Do you know that their ancestors taught them this? This goes way back, generations. These ones don't even realize it. If you look at Genesis 11, we go back to Terah, who's Abram's son, father. Abram's father. Genesis 11, verse 31, 32, this is what it says. "Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, his son of Aaron, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to," look at Canaan. Look where he set out to go, Canaan. "But they came to Aaron, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran." He wasn't supposed to go to Haran. He was supposed to go to Canaan. I love the words. They settled there. Abram, Abraham's dad, settled short of Canaan. Now his descendants, now the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Terah, are settling again. It's generational, it's taught. They don't even know it's taught. It's been so many generations. We should keep going, but man, it's just comfortable. It's really cozy here. Canadian winters are cold. They live stream. We can put the fire on, get a coffee, just cuddle up at home. We'll have a family time together. Chad said it's important to speak into our family. Just to clarify, that's not fully what I'm teaching. It's important for your family to understand the importance of gathering together. It's taught. But the amazing thing is, Abram had to wait for his dad to die before he could move on. And so did the Israelites. God said to them that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. That's 1 year for every day that those guys were in there scouting the lands. They were in for 40 days. Because of that, they had to wander for 40 years. Obedience. This should show us so much how obedience is so important. See, our obedience impacts our level of influence. Your obedience impacts the level of influence you have. See, the Israelites don't have anyone to lead them into the promised land. They had to wait for a generation ahead of them to die because that generation didn't want to plow the way. How far can our grandchildren go if we go as far as we can? If we continue to push, if we don't let fear stop us. See, this is about so much more than us. It's about the legacy. See, Deuteronomy 6, it continues and it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We read these two verses already. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you are walking along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." When we push through, when we plow for the generations behind us, what we have to realize is when God's favor starts to pour in, when he starts to bless you, when he starts to shine his face upon you, we need to remember who he is. When life is going good, when you get the promotion, when you get the house, when you get the car, when your business becomes successful and even more successful, remember to tell your children where it came from. It didn't come from you. It didn't come for your degree. It came from God. Anybody in the room, 80 years old or older? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. Is it just the two of you, or is it just the two of you that will admit? Anybody else, 80 plus? Okay. Not at all, it's Bob and Kay. If I embarrass them, they will just get me later. Can you imagine what you've learned from God in the last 3 years? I know we've talked, and so I know God's still speaking to you. He's still working in all of us. Can you imagine what God has shown you in the last 3 years if you learned it when you were 60? Anybody in the room 60? Come on, don't be shy. I was going to say there should be a few more hands here. If somebody's beside you who's 60 and won't raise their hand, you have permission to point them out. So many jokes right now. I want you to understand something for everybody that's 60. What Bob and Kay have learned in the last 3 years, if they could teach you now, and I want you to think what God has shown you in the last 3 years, in the last few months, what he's showing you, how he's lifted you up, how he's corrected you, but he's corrected you in a loving way. He's walked with you. He's shown you things. Who in the room's 40? 40. I feel like this one's actually harder for some people. My hand's up between 40 and 60. Come on. I know some people are like, he's not saying 44. I don't have to put my hand up. catching all of you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the sermon of all the cheaters in the room. Everybody between 40 and 60, if you and I can learn what Bob and Kay have learned now, where will we be when we're in our 80s? Between 20 and 40. 20 and 40. See, this one's not hard. A lot of people are like, I'm right here. Fancy pantsies. I want you to imagine for a moment. Anybody like 20? 20. Ben? Sandy? Anybody else? So Ben, Pastor Sandy, I want you guys to imagine for a moment. Like, God's hand is on both of your lives. So extraordinary. It's not even funny. All of us in the room can agree to that. But if you two can learn what Bob and Kay have learned in the last few years, it blows my mind where you two could be in 60 years in your relationship with Jesus. Anybody under 20? See how fast all those hands went up? What I want you guys to envision for a moment, for all of you, I want you to envision for a moment, because I see God's hand on all of your lives, for every kid in the room, for every teenager in the room. I see God's hand on your life. I see you worshiping God in such a passionate way. But if you can learn today what Bob and Kay are learning in their 80s, or maybe just into their 80s, I'm not really sure. They learned in their 70s, a little over, a little. Envision for a moment. Bob and Kay, can you envision for a moment where these teens can be when they hit your age? If they learn today what you guys know about the walk with God. This is the legacy that I'm talking about. This is the legacy that should stir in you a passion. How much farther could they all be? See, here's what you have to understand. In Numbers 14, 24, it says this, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. A couple of theologians, they write this about that verse, about a different spirit. It says this, not the unbelieving, despairing, yet proud and rebellious spirit of the great mass of the people. That's the definition of the rest of the Israelites. Unbelieving, despairing, proud, rebellious spirit. But the spirit of obedience, listen to this part, and believing trust, so that he followed Jehovah fully, fulfilled to walk behind Jehovah, followed him with unwavering fidelity, God would bring him into the land. Where can our families be? Where can our great-grandchildren be? Where can the children and youth that are in this room be if we practice genuine, quick obedience, if we follow Jehovah fully? What if our obedience started to come out of promises for our children and their children? What if we started to believe God could do the things now so your children and grandchildren don't need to wait to go where God is already asking you to go? We talk about knocking down walls. We talk about healing hearts. We talk about breakthrough. What if the breakthrough is supposed to happen in your life so your children don't even know there was a wall there? See, our level of impartation equals our level of obedience. My level of impartation to my children equals the level of my obedience to my father. See, I have a spiritual father, and he's walking with me as we walk through life, and we were talking about obedience. And he said to me, he said, the things that I'm working through right now, this was his words to me. He's like, Chad, the things you are working through right now are so that Miles never has to work through them. Imagine the freedom that our children and grandchildren will walk in if we press through and we put footprints where there are no footprints. See, the Israelites didn't have footprints to follow as they went into Israel, or into Canaan to get the promised land. They didn't have anybody to lead them. Somebody had to lead. Caleb and Joshua walked in. They're the only two. We can do this. What if you're the only one for your family that can say, we can do this because it's God that's going ahead of us? What if you today could begin a new path for your family? You can start a new legacy today for your family. You can take ground today. Because see, you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. You and I, we just need to renew our minds that we have faith and confidence in the one living in us to help us and our family to move into our full destiny. Well, Chad, I've tried this. I haven't been able to do it. If we're honest, we probably tried on our own. See, after the Israelites found out they weren't going to go into the promised land, they changed their minds. They collected an army and said, let's go. And Moses was like, you're going to die. God's not going with you. They went anyway, and they lost. Many of us in this room today, the way we start our legacy is by repenting of our disobedience. Unintentional disobedience is still disobedience. We begin by repenting. And then we ask the Father to give us the opportunity to break through the walls, to cross the rivers that we need to cross so that our children and our great-grandchildren and the families and generations that come after us have a path. So they can be in a relationship with the Father at the age you're at, but where they are now. They're supposed to stand on our shoulders. They're not supposed to wade through the waters that we wade through. It's our responsibility to provide a path. Let's stand together. Prayer team, will you come to the front? Your family needs you. It needs you to step up. Your family needs you to step out. It needs you to step in. It needs you to step on to the things that God has asked you to do. This morning, as we close, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then there's people across the front that want to pray with you and encourage you and strengthen you. Before we get to that point, I am going to lead us in a prayer of repentance. And I know some people will be like, well, I don't know if I need to repent. I'm willing to guess that somewhere in your life, God has asked you to do something. And out of fear, out of just perseverance that fell through, you're like, man, I was supposed to push through that wall. And that's why I keep hitting the same wall again. And so this morning, we're just going to pray a simple prayer of repentance. And then we're going to pray for a prayer of empowerment. So if you'll repeat after me. If you're at home, I want you to repeat this prayer as well. Father God, thank you for always showing me the way. This morning I confess there's times where I've given up. I didn't work hard enough. I didn't push through. I tried to do it on my own. I tried to do it my own way. So I repent of disobedience to you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I break off any rights the enemy may have had to my life and the family that follows behind me. I break off any strongholds out of obedience or out of disobedience, whether intentional or unintentional. In Jesus' name. And from this moment forward, my desire is to follow you daily so that your blessings and guidance can be in my life and the generations to follow. For as much as it is for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I just want to pray, and I'm going to pray a prayer of just power released over you. And then we're going to be dismissed. But this morning, if you're like, man, this really hit, and I need some, a little bit lifting up. People across the front are here to pray for you. If you came in and this morning I didn't pray for healing that you needed, they're here to pray with you. If you need encouragement in other areas, they want to pray with you. So don't leave here without receiving prayer if you came in desiring it. Don't be like, well, this isn't what Chad said. No, come, receive prayer. And so, Father, I thank you for your grace and for your power. That, Lord, as Caleb and Joshua understood that when they went to walk into the promised land, what was before them? Yeah, they saw the same things the other 10 saw. They saw the size of the cities. They saw the size of the people. And, Lord, they saw the same report. But, Lord, they gave a different word. They knew who walked with them. And so, Father, for everyone in this room that believes in you, that follows you, I pray for just a stirring, Lord, a passion, a burning inside of them, an understanding of who is in them. That, Father, the spirit that is in us is greater than the spirit in this world. So, Lord, if you're asking us to do something, we can walk in victory. We can walk in strength because we do not walk alone. That, Father God, you're not going to ask us to go through something that we have to do on our own. But, Father, you're going to equip us. You're going to empower us. You're going to surround us by the right people. Lord, open our eyes to see what you're doing and give us the strength and the wisdom to continue and press through. Lord, give us all the fruits of the Spirit and give us the boldness, Lord, your power to continue to walk where you've asked us to walk, not just for us, but the generations that follow us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.